Now we're going to look at part 3. It's only 4 verses from chapter 8 of Romans. I want to say a couple of words about chapter 8 and then see this text. This is a Trinitarian text. And so many of the texts in the New Testament are Trinitarian, but you got to notice it. I'll give you one before we start the one we have here. In Ephesians, he's talking about our Lord in chapter 2. This is going to be verse 18, but first start 14. For he is our peace, brought the two together, and so forth. So then the last line is, through him we have entrance, that both of us, Jew and Gentile, that's the two, you see, in one spirit toward the Father. So in him, in one spirit toward the Father. Do you hear the Trinity? There are 55 texts, if I remember correctly, I'm quite sure, that Paul Gaichter once, back in the 1920s, counted. And they're there, you can find them yourself, of this sort of Trinitarian way of speaking about God. Did you see what that said? Through him, that's Christ, we have access, the both of us, through him, in one spirit toward the Father. So we are in him in one spirit toward the Father. That's Christ, Spirit, Father. Do you hear it? I'll give you another one maybe. There are varieties of charismatic gifts, but the same Spirit. Varieties of services and the same Kyrios. Varieties of works and the same God. Did you hear it? Spirit, Lord, God. God's always the Father. I think the word pater comes 1,314 times. I've got to keep checking that out so I don't make the wrong number. Let's say it's pater comes that when, theos, I mean, God comes, the word God comes 1,314 times. All but 5 or 6 always refer to the Father. He's the one. Though there's no time in God, there's no before and after. Everything is simultaneous, a simultaneously existing relationship. That's what we're celebrating this Sunday, the Trinity. Even in the Trinity, though, there is a principium deitatis, the principle. And the Son reflects back in an infinite, eternal love. There was never a moment when the Son was not. And they're giving, and in giving back, they meet in the Spirit. That's the Trinity. St. Teresa of Avila tells us of a time when the Lord came to her, Jesus, and spoke to her about life in the Trinity. Wouldn't that be something? And when she's finished telling us about it, she says, now this, I believe, is what they mean by theology. She's right. Theologia in the early church always meant discourse about the Trinity. That's why John, the author of the fourth gospel, is called Ioannis o Theologos. Because what does he start with? Discourse about the Trinity. In the beginning was the Logos. And the Logos was turned toward Theos, the Father. You see? From the beginning. I often tell my students when we do the prologue, go home and write a prologue to the gospel. What can you come up with? Get an idea of the stature, the enlightenment, the Trinitarian life in this man who wrote for us the Word of God. Okay, now, we're in chapter 8 of Romans, okay? And he's just been talking about chapter 8 is the culmination of the first part of the letter to the Romans. There are 1-8, 9-11, and 12-14. 3 big sections in Romans. So, this 8, you see, and he's telling us now, you see, that whoever is led by the Spirit of God, you see, those are sons of God, children of God. Now notice, it doesn't say, whoever has a spirit living in him It says who's ever led by the Spirit. You got to be doing something. You have to be led by the Spirit. I hope I have that text of John Chrysostom, of John of Cross. Oh dear. Well, I'll try to tell you what it says. I forgot to put it down. But you see, led by the Spirit is not the same as just having the Spirit. Led means you're aware of Him. You're yielding to Him. You have an affection for Him. You want to know Him. Those are the children of God. You see, John of the Cross says, you see, when all the movements of the interior of the man, the mind, the will, the emotions, the memory, when they're all moved by the Holy Spirit, you see, that's what this text is. Now, he says, that doesn't last at that peak a long time, because our poor frame won't take it. But that's the fulfillment of where we're going, our childhood in God, led, moved by the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul said to those guys, do you know the Holy Spirit? We never heard there was one. He said, you haven't been baptized with the baptism of Jesus and plunged into His death, or you'd know the Holy Spirit. I've told you this story before about a Franciscan, very famous spiritual director, and there was a woman down in Virginia who had a great reputation for holiness. And this great reputation for spiritual director, he showed up. He's an Irishman, but he was around. So they said, would you go talk? He said, sure, I'd be glad to talk to her. I talked to her for about an hour, and he came out. And they said, well, what do you think? He said, it's genuine. Such joy can only come from the Holy Spirit. This was a woman in a wheelchair, having difficult times at times. Such joy. That's the sign of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So the who are led, because you did not receive the spirit of slavery again unto fear. You see? Is favon. But you received the spirit of adoption or sonship, in which we cry, Abba, hopatir. Now, what is that? That's a grace. That's the grace of praying like Jesus. That's what it is. Jesus, when He prays, even at the agony in the garden, how does He start? Abba. Now, what does Abba mean? I can tell you this, it doesn't mean dad, okay? It's ineffable. You want to know what it really means? Let the Holy Spirit teach you. Well, I'd like to do that. Okay, then start now to obey Him. Start with the Ten Commandments. Start with all the things. And after a while, you'll be hearing the Holy Spirit. You'll be sensing the Holy Spirit guide you. When you examine your conscience in the morning of the past day, you go through the day, the Holy Spirit will show you. He'll say, look what you did there. You criticized somebody. Here, you told an off-color joke. There, you got really angry. So you can repent, okay? Then, pretty soon, when you're there, He's going to say, you're in the middle of it. He says, watch what you're doing right now. Whoop, that's right, I'm starting to get angry at this guy. He stops us. Isn't that beautiful of it? And finally, as we're thinking over the day, He says, now watch this, watch this, watch that. That's where you sin. Today you're going into this group of guys, and they're going to be talking about their sex exploits. Stay out of it. Today, you're going to have a meeting, and you're going to be mad with this person. Don't get that way. We're armed ahead of time. We're being led by the Holy Spirit. And then finally, you just know, not all day, gosh, that'd be great, but we know during the day, move here, do that. That's what it means, you see? Now, to cry Abba means to have a divine affection for God the Father. A divine affection. See, love, agape, it includes affection. Jesus' affection for the Father. This is the prayer that Jesus says all the time. I probably did count once, but I forgot the number. For instance, where we translate the Father, like an abstraction, the text says, now the day and the hour, nobody knows except Abba. When you pray, the Luke version of that Our Father, When you pray, say, of course, Abba. The secret of what that means can only be unlocked for us by the Holy Spirit. It's a divine affection. It takes your breath away to realize that God the Father loves us like that. And that response is Abba. Whether we say the word or not, we respond in awe. God the Father, there is not the slightest shadow of deceit or darkness in Him. You can just relax and give your whole being to God the Father and know you're safe and want to obey Him. Search out the Holy Spirit to teach you. See, that's why, you see, the Spirit Himself bears witness to our spirit that we're children of God, children of the Father. This is Trinity Sunday. So the Spirit of the Son bears witness that we are, you see, children of the Father. That doesn't mean He sends a telegram. It means we know in our spirit. We relate to God and know Him as Father. Father with an affection, pure, truthful, stable, never any falsehood, completely reliable, and He loves us. That's what it's all about. That's the climax of Trinity Sunday. Because it's the Spirit of the Son moving us to pray like the Son. Well, there's another step. The role of the Mother of God in all of this is to get us to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. To get us sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And as we do, see, He can lead us so that we begin to have share in Jesus' trust in His human heart and His affection in His human heart for the Father, which is a share in His divine furnace of love for the Father. That's Trinity Sunday. The Spirit moves us to have the prayer of Jesus toward the Father. And that's why He says, you see, so if we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God. God's my Father, so I'm going to inherit, right? And co-heirs with Christ, if we co-suffer, so that we can be so glorified. Because living this way means putting to death all our screwed up drives and taking a hit once in a while, more nowadays when there was an ad in the New York Times several months ago by the time you hear this, urging people to quit the Catholic Church. That's good. Everybody will say, I'm not going to quit the Catholic Church. By gum, I'm going to start going back to Mass. I'm praying for that. You see? But you see, it's the Father. That's the heart. That's the heart of prayer. When Jesus says, pray and you pray, say, Father. Now we say, Avinu Shebashemayim, that's the Jewish prayer that we have filled with a whole new experience. But the Lucan version of the Our Father says what? When you pray, say, Abba. Yitkadesh Shemach. May your name be held holy, and so forth. You see? That's Trinity Sunday. To experience the Father and return in love to Him by the power of the Spirit joined to Jesus. Amen.